Welcome to Greek Club here at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We are broadcasting today from high atop Autumnal Equinox Tower. The Brickman folks are blowing leaves on campus today. And if you are interested in leaves, we have plenty. And at my personal house, we have acorns galore. I think the owls are killing off the squirrels. Have you heard the owls at night, Reed? Yeah. Yeah, I think the owls are killing off the squirrels. So.
I sleep at night.
Yeah, that's right. That's because you get up like at 3 in the morning and go running. So. All right, well, enough of this good banter between the Old and the New Testament. We're in Hebrews 9, and we're reading toward the very end of the chapter, and we are at verse 27. And there's some really really interesting stuff here, grammatically, syntactically, so it should be fun. I don't know. We may not get as many verses as we normally do. But to pick up the sort of the flow of the thought, we've had the notion that in verse 23, better sacrifices happen for the reality of cleansing. Christ, verse 24, did not enter into a holy place made with hands, but into the heaven itself, verse 24. And it was not in order, like the chief priest on earth, to repeatedly offer sacrifice, because that would require, verse 26, then it was necessary him to suffer many times from the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the consummation of the ages, for the setting aside of sins, through his sacrifice, pephanerotai, he has been manifested. Perfect indicative passive third singular. And so that's the flow of thought, and we'll pick up then at verse 27, which reads something like this. Kai koth hazan apaketai tois anthropois hapax apathanein metada tuta krisis. And we'll continue the sentence. Houtos kai ha Christos hapax pras enenkthes eis ta polon an enenkein hamartias. And you could put a comma there, actually. Ek deuteru choris hamartias ophthesitai tois auton ap ek dechamenois eis sotereon. So we have a comparison here, and koth hazan at the beginning of verse 27 is according to, as such, or according to as much. And then the other shoe is the houtos clause in verse 28. So sort of like a just as, so also. And just as apaketai, it is set, or it lies, with respect to men, and what is the it? Hapax apathanein, once to die. Right? So there are certain things that only have to happen once. Right? And that's one of them. A person only dies once, and, continuing in verse 27, after this, krisis, judgment. So also Christ, once, and then we'll get into that syntax in just a second. But in verse 27, I think we would have to say that the apothanein, which is from apothnesko, it's the aorist infinitive active, is the subject of apaketai. To die once is appointed or lies in relation to men or to men, to people. And after this, judgment. Now, let me just give an eschatological disclaimer here. This verse is often quoted, and I think out of context, in support of the idea that when a Christian dies, or when anybody dies for that matter, they really sort of immediately experience their personal judgment day. Right? Well, if you read the next verse, it becomes clear, I think, that the judgment referred to is the judgment on the last day. But this must not be pressed to mean something like, you know, again, when you die, it's your personal judgment day. Or even the sort of metaphysical speculation that when a Christian dies, somehow you experience an immediate projection to the future or something like that. I mean, this is pure speculation. There's no evidence for this whatsoever in the Bible. And in fact, personal judgment day is a contradiction in terms. Because the judgment day is about God's plan for the creation. It's not about what happens to me as a little tiny person, right? So this verse is often quoted out of context, and I think invalidly. And but that's theology, and that's interesting, and this is Greek club. But yeah, go ahead, Jake.
So grammatically, with the preposition, there's nothing that says that it has to happen immediately.
No, correct. It doesn't say immediately after this or something like that. That's correct. Yeah, it's just look. The point that's being made here in Hebrews 9, verse 27 and 28. Dan, welcome. The point that's being made is that look, you only die once. And after that comes the judgment. Well, Christ died once, and then he's coming again for judgment. I mean, that's the sequence, see? And so if you rip it out of the context of verse 28, it's easily misunderstood. So, right. So grammatically, that's fairly easy. And then the hutos kai, so also, verse 28, is the other shoe dropping of the point of the comparison. So also Christ, once, hapax, now pros anechthes is from pros phero, and it's an aorist participle passive, that thes ending might clue you in on that, having been offered, ace ta polon an anenkein hamartias. Now this is ace ta plus the infinitive, which in Veltz's grammar is chapter 17. In order to, now anaphero, this is the aorist infinitive of anaphero. Anaphero normally means to offer up a sacrifice. But here, sins is the direct object of it. And so it sort of has to mean bear away. And that's the way it's translated. I actually looked up, anaphero doesn't occur that often in Hebrews. I think only three or four times. And the other times it actually means to offer up an offering, right? But here that doesn't make any sense. So we have to translate it. Christ, once having been offered in order to take away of many the sins. So polon is genitive plural, and it has to modify hamartias, which is accusative plural, as the direct object of the infinitive. So sins of many, and by the way, that would probably be a subjective genitive, because many sin, since sin is a verbally based noun. So chapter 37 of Veltz. Right? You can tell I'm teaching elementary Greek, right? Yeah. So also Christ, after he has been offered once, to bear up or bear away the sins of many, ek deuteru, a second time, apart from sin. He doesn't have to deal with sin like that anymore. Uf thesetai. Now, this is a great form. It's a classic future indicative passive from harao. Harao's sixth principal part is of thane. So the stem is of they. You add the sigma, and you get the future passive. So also, a second time, apart from sin, he will be seen, or, and harao is one of the verbs which in the passive voice can come to have an active intransitive meaning. So simply, he will appear or be visible. And then, natural enough, a dative, to the expecting him for salvation guys, if I could say it that way. Tois op ek dechamenois. Op ek dechamai is, I think it's the verb that's used in Romans 8, where the whole creation is looking for, you know, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. So you can see that the reference here is, I think, pretty clearly to the last day. And again, that last clause, to smooth it out a little bit, he will become visible, he will appear to those who are waiting him or expecting him unto salvation. And as you know, ace plus the accusative, just as a prepositional phrase, can readily express purpose. So you could actually translate this in kind of a dynamic equivalence. For the purpose of being saved, or something like that. So, again, the contrast is that the offerings of the Old Testament cultic system were repeated. They were offering. They never finally reached their goal. Christ, however, has offered once for all the sacrifice for sins. But he's only going to do it once. And it's an interesting comparison. Look, I'm going to die once, and then I'm going to participate in the judgment day. So Christ, he died once, and he's going to come and implement, if we say it that way, the judgment day. Good. Questions, other comments or observations about anything in verse 27, 28? That's not so bad. Okay, let's jump into chapter 10. Interesting syntax here. Verse 1 is a long either sentence or at the very least it's an independent construction. You have to take a deep breath, and you got to parse like crazy. Skiangar ekon hanamas ton melanton agathon. Uk autain tain ekona ton pragmaton, kat heni autan tais autais thiziais. Has pras feruzen esta di e nekes udepita. Finally, we get the verb. This is the verb. Dunatai. Dunatai tois pras erchamenus teleosai. Okay? So this is you got to be patient here, and you got to put the pieces together. So the subject in the first line is the law. Easy enough, right? The law, udepata dinatai, in the fourth line. The law was never able to perfect teleosai, tus pras erchamenus, those who kept on approaching. I think the present stem actually probably has that repeated sense to it, given the contours of the argument. Now, before all that stuff, we have a participle in predicate position, right? Ekon, right? The third word in. And skion is accusative. So the easy way to take that is that the direct object of the participle is shadow. Skion means shadow. For the law, comma, having a shadow, and now we sort of have to take ton melanton agathon as modifying shadow. It doesn't make any sense to take it as modifying law. The law of the coming good things, that doesn't make any sense. So believe it or not, skion is a shadow of the about to happen good things. Okay. And we'll take the participle, I think, causally, because the law has a shadow of the coming good things, not autain take tain ekona ton pragmaton. Now, you may not remember this, but it actually comes up fairly often. The third person personal pronoun in predicate position means anything, anybody? It's the intensifying meaning. The way to remember this is the James W. Vells memory device, is when you see Dr. Vells, you say to him, ah, ha aner autos, which means the man himself. You put autos in predicate position, and it intensifies self. See? If you say, ah, ha autos aner, that means the same man. And we get both constructions in this verse. See? Isn't that interesting? So it's a little review about autos in predicate or attributive position. So the law, because it has a shadow of the about-to-happen good things, not the icon itself of the matters, pragma is a matter or an affair. And notice how ekon here, image, isn't some sort of weak, like, only an image. But it's image like in the sense of Christ being the image of God, right? So the law doesn't have the image itself of the matters. And now we're still working with the participle. The law, having the shadow and not the image itself, Kat heniauton. This again is the distributive use of kata plus accusative. Year by year or every year. Heniautas is a year. Tais autais thysiais. By means of the same sacrifices. See, there's autos in attributive position. Right? By means of the same sacrifices, hos, which, prosferizin, they keep on bringing, asta di anekes, this is an idiom, it means continually, right? The law was never able to perfect those who kept on coming. Okay? Yeah, right. That was interesting. So we essentially, what we have here is a main clause, the law was not able to perfect. And we have a predicate position participle construction, which is fairly long, right? It has a really long accusative construction, right? So it's actually a really marvelous review of a bunch of grammatical syntactical stuff right there in that one verse. So I'm going to try to remember that next time. I want my Matthew students to be grateful that they're reading Matthew in Greek and not Hebrews. So, questions about that? Once you kind of unravel it, it makes pretty decent sense. Okay? All right. Now, this is fun. Verse 2. And let's see. Yeah, we'll probably get at least through verse 4, but we'll take verse 2 first of all. There's a question mark. It's punctuated as a question, so we'll take that as a good advice. Epe uk an epausanta prosferomenai. Diata me de mean echen eti sinedesin hamartion. Tus la truantas hapax ke katharis menus. Pars or die. What do you think of when you see on and a past time indicative? Like an epausanta. Anything other than I can't remember that point of Greek grammar. Okay. It's the untranslatical particle of contingency. That's exactly right. You might conceivably think of a future less vivid conditional sentence or a potential statement like, or a contrary to fact. Yeah, this is actually a kind of a contrary to fact. I looked it up in Blasterbrunner just to check. By itself can indicate since otherwise, and it sort of stands for the entire if clause. In other words, if those sacrifices had been able to complete, they would not have ceased being brought. So pao is one of these verbs that takes a participle to complete its meaning. So pao means to cease. So you cease doing something. So it just naturally is accompanied by a participle, and it's almost like a periphrastic construction, like the linking verb and a participle. So otherwise, they would not have ceased being brought, pros pheromenai. And notice that the participle is feminine plural because the implied subject is sacrifices, which is also feminine plural. Otherwise, they would not have ceased being brought. Now we have dia, ta, plus an infinitive. See ekain in the top line on page 577. They would have not ceased being brought because of the to have thingy. Now we have to figure out what goes with to have. And we'll take the participle at the end, tus la treuantas, the worshiping guys, as the subject, the accusative case subject of the infinitive. Otherwise, they would not have ceased being brought because the worshiping guys, once having been cleansed, ke katharis menus, otherwise, though worshippers, have me de mea eti sinedes in hamartion. They have no conscious or consciousness of sins still. So, in other words, if the sacrifices had worked, they wouldn't have needed the constant reminder of the continuous offer, the continuous sacrifices that were being offered. And the other shoe drops in verse 3. Al en autais anamnesis hamartion katenioton. But in them, that is in the sacrifices, is or was the remembrance of sins year by year. See? So it's a very interesting argument. It would only make sense in light of Christ, if I could say it that way. See? The very frequency of the Old Testament sacrificial system showed that it was a shadow of something which was better and more permanent to come. That's the argument. So, all right, we'll stop there, verse 3. That was difficult. We might come back, actually, and clean that up. Although, since classes are out after this week, may the saints be praised, there will be no Greek club for 2 weeks, and then we'll reconvene on the first week of the winter quarter. So thank you very much. And if you're getting a headache, just read John. And blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 right? Yeah, so.
You never loved Kai so much.